You know, on this journey, we meet so many beautiful, romantic, and faithful figures in Advent. As we journey toward this scene in Bethlehem, their stories inspire us. Who were they? They were the chosen ones of the chosen people. Might we say twice chosen, highly favored. God would use them to change the world, and that is not in any way an exaggeration. The women, Mary and Elizabeth, the men, Joseph and John the Baptist, and Zechariah. 2,000 years later, they are household names. Mary, much more than a household name. Mary is certainly the most famous woman who ever lived. An angel came from God to a town called Nazareth, to a woman whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you." Highly favored. An interesting title, is it not? What does it mean to be God's highly favored? Now, it seems to me that everybody in the Advent and Christmas story, certainly they were highly favored by God. Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. Elizabeth. Elizabeth was an older cousin or aunt to Mary. Elizabeth had never been able to have children of her own. A painful reality, to be sure. A painful reality experienced by some I know in our community. She was married to a Jewish priest named Zechariah. As the Advent story unfolds, an angel by the name of Gabriel came to Zechariah as he was in the sanctuary in Jerusalem offering incense to God. The angel shared unbelievable news. The angel said, Your prayers have been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You have been chosen to be the parents of the one who will prepare the way for the Messiah. Zechariah and Elizabeth, you are highly favored with God. Now, Zechariah put down the incense. He kind of scratched his head, and he spoke some Hebrew words. They would mean nothing to you. So let me translate for you. He said, "Are you sure about this? Are you sure you have the right guy? I mean, I am old. I'm as old as dirt. And my wife, though she's not as old as I am, let's just say she's getting on in years." With that, the angel Gabriel was offended. Offended by the old priest's lack of faith. And he rendered Zechariah mute. Do you have a mute button on your TV or your phone? You get the idea. Zechariah was muted by the angel. He could not speak. Now imagine a pastor who could not speak. Don't get your hopes up. Zechariah was muted, and he would remain muted until his son was born some 9 months later. And so it was, as the angel said, Pastor Prime Elizabeth was now pregnant with a muted husband by her side. She would remain in seclusion for the first 5 months of her pregnancy. And reflecting on this improbable pregnancy, Elizabeth said, "This is what the Lord has done for me. He has looked upon me with favor. Rejoice, so highly favored, for you have been chosen." Now our next character. You recognize her, Mary. Mary was a teenager. She may have been 14 or 15 years of age. She lived in a small village of Nazareth up in the Galilee. Mary was engaged to a somewhat older man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter, and by all accounts, he was a good man. Mary and Joseph were enjoying the courting period before the wedding. They would live in their own homes, meaning their parents' homes, and they would see each other only with proper supervision. In this dating period, they would get to know each other better, but they'd also become acquainted with the rest of the family. After all, for better or worse, you pretty much get the whole family on the wedding day, do you not? Engaged and courting, it was a time of joy and anticipation and planning, and together they dreamed of the life that they would share. Meanwhile, outside of Jerusalem in the village of Enkarim, Elizabeth was now 6 months into her pregnancy. Remember, it was a day before cell phones, no email, meaning that Mary, up in the Galilee, had no idea what was going on with Elizabeth. Then the angel Gabriel showed up in Nazareth. He found Mary there and he said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now this greeting frightened Mary. I think it's safe to say that this greeting would have frightened any of us. Gabriel continued. He said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You shall bear a child, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "How can this be? I'm not married. I have no husband. This is impossible." The angel said, "Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. And now I have more news for you, good news. Your relative Elizabeth, she's pregnant also." That's right, the one who was thought to be barren is now in her sixth month. Now Mary, not wanting to be muted, simply said, "I don't get it, but let it be. Let it be according to God's will. I am the servant of the Lord." Now when Joseph got this news, he was not amused. He knew where babies came from. He knew that he was not the father of this child. And this story about the angel, it was a little much for him. Now Joseph had options. He could have had Mary stoned to death, messy, a little mean-spirited perhaps, but perfectly legal. But Joseph was a good and righteous man. He wished Mary no harm. She had, it seemed, broken their engagement contract. And so now Joseph just decided to break off the engagement very quietly. That night, Joseph closed his eyes to go to sleep. And in his slumber, an angel appeared to him, came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Joseph. Do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife. Her story is true. She is chosen by God, and you, my friend, are also highly favored. Highly favored, for you will have a son, and you'll name him Jesus, and you will raise him as your own." Joseph woke up. What's a carpenter to do now? Meanwhile, Mary left town. She set out on a journey to the village where Elizabeth lived. She set out with haste, meaning quickly, in a hurry, to check it out, to check out the angel's improbable story. When she arrived, Elizabeth met her at the door. She was showing big time. The women laughed. The women sang. The baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy. And Zechariah just sat there unable to talk. They were highly favored, all right. Highly favored, the pregnant, unwed teenager, the bloated, middle-aged mother-to-be, the confused carpenter, and the mute old man. Highly favored, chosen by God. Oh, but there's another character. What about that Advent Hall of Famer? You'll see him here. What about John? What about that baby in the womb of Elizabeth? God had chosen him to be the last of the prophets. God had chosen him to prepare the way for the long-awaited Messiah. John was certainly highly favored. Well, 30 years after his birth, where was he? He was out preaching. In the sunshine, down by the Jordan River, he was baptizing. He was welcoming sinners. He was letting the religious folks have it. He was confident. He was full of conviction. He was highly favored. But that's not where we found him today, in that text that Pat read for us, is it? In that text that she read out of the Gospel of Matthew, we find John in prison, languishing there day after day, and his faith was shaken and crumbling. Now he heard many stories about Jesus, amazing stories of miracles, and yet the highly favored prophet, sat in prison. He was impressed with what Jesus was doing, but he was disappointed that Jesus was not doing more. Namely, that Jesus was not casting the powerful down from their thrones and getting him out of prison. So John sent some of his followers to find Jesus. And they asked him on John's behalf, point blank, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another?" And Jesus answered them. They said, "You go and tell John. Go and tell John what you see and what you hear." That would mean the blind are receiving their sight. The lame are walking. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. Go, tell him that. And then Jesus looked at the crowd, and he said this about John. He said, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist." None greater. Get your head around that. None greater than the highly favored John the Baptist. And yet, John was sitting in prison, a caged man. His faith was shaken. He doubted Jesus. He doubted himself. He was not sure what God was doing. None greater than John. Highly favored. And soon his head would be on a platter as he was executed for sport. So where are we? John's mother, the highly favored Elizabeth, how did her journey play out? She had such high hopes when John was born. She prayed as she nursed him. She dreamed of how his life would play out. After all, she knew that her son was highly favored by God. Well, her miracle child would grow up, and what would he do? He would reject the traditions of his father, Zechariah. He never called home. He never sent Mother's Day cards. Her son, John, would live in the wilderness, wear a leather girdle, eat bugs, and die in prison. How's that? And Mary, the highly favored mother of our Lord, what was her journey like? Well, shortly after his birth, nursing child held close to her, she would be on the run. A refugee. A refugee fleeing violence, crossing borders without a passport, hiding out in Egypt to protect Jesus from King Herod. And when it was safe to return to Nazareth, and they did return there, Mary would now raise a son who would never really belong to her. He would never take a wife. He would never give Mary grandchildren. He would abandon a very good job at the carpentry shop to wander around the countryside preaching. Her son would die on a cross between two criminals. Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. Oh yes, we meet so many beautiful, romantic, and faithful figures in Advent. They were chosen and they were obedient. But let's be very honest, they were also bewildered and troubled by their circumstances. They did not know how God was working. They could not understand why God's chosen would be suffering so. Okay, I have good news for you and bad news. Good news and bad news, my friends. You are highly favored. You are baptized. You are the children of God. You are loved always by God. You are faithful and kind and compassionate. Obedient? Well, you are mostly, sometimes, occasionally obedient. And your ministry in your workplace and in your homes, it's a sacred calling. Your ministry Monday through Friday makes a difference in the world. I am confident in saying that you are highly favored by God. I am confident in saying that God is pleased with your faithfulness and your service. You are highly favored, like Elizabeth and Mary, like John, like Zechariah, and you should expect nothing less than what they got. How's that for good news? Expect nothing less. Expect nothing less as you raise your children or grandchildren. Expect nothing less as you navigate your own precarious journey, as you lick your sores, as you sit to receive chemo, as you languish in the prisons of this world. Yeah, there's no easy road through this life, and there are no guarantees, and there are no meaningful explanations for why good people suffer so terribly. There are no easy answers, and sometimes we cannot help but kind of shake our head like John the Baptist and say, is that all there is? I'm faithful, and I'm favored, and I'm going to die like all the rest of them? Are you the one, Jesus, or should we wait for another? And to that, my friends, I answer using the words of the angel, rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. What does that mean? It means you are not alone. We are not alone. God is with us. And so in faith and in doubt, facing the uncertain tomorrows that we all face, when we find ourselves in times of trouble, let us answer as Mary did. Let it be. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your will.